वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। टुडे वी विल डिस्कस द ग्लोरीज ऑफ कशीश्वर पंडित श्री कवि कर्णापुर, एंड इफ वी फाइंड सम टाइम देन वी विल ऑल्सो डिस्कस अबाउट द ग्लोरीज ऑफ श्रील कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी। नॉट मच इज रिटन अबाउट दीज थ्री आचार्यस, सो लेट्स सी हाउ लाइक अ ड्वार्फ ट्राइंग टू टच द मून एंड द स्टार्स विल ट्राई टू स्पीक समथिंग ऑन देयर ग्लोरिफिकेशन फॉर आर ओन प्यूरिफिकेशन, बट नो ग्लोरिफिकेशन कैन एक्चुअली सेटिस्फाई और कंप्लीट देयर ग्लोरीज, बट इट विल एटलीस्ट प्यूरिफाई अस स्पीकर्स एज वेल एज द लिसनर्स। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी हैव हर्ड अबाउट द ग्लोरीज ऑफ सो मेनी डिफरेंट एसोसिएट्स ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य एंड आर प्रीवियस आचार्यस एंड देयर डिसेंडेंट्स एंड असेंडेंट्स। टुडे वी विल डिस्कस अबाउट श्री कशीश्वर पंडित हु वॉज ऑल्सो ए डिसाइपल ऑफ श्री ईश्वरपुरी, जस्ट लाइक लॉर्ड चैतन्य इज अ डिसाइपल ऑफ श्री ईश्वरपुरी। And his father's name was Sri Vasudev Bhattacharya, and Srila Prabhupada, he writes about Kashishwar Pandit that there are the deities of Radha Govinda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a temple near Sri Rampur. And Kashishwar Pandit's family would worship that. This is later. But Kashishwar Pandit, he was a very strong man. And so when Lord Chaitanya visited the Jagannath temple, He used to protect Lord Chaitanya from the crowds. We remember how Lord Chaitanya would go visit Jagannath Temple and would go at the very back and back of the temple, and from there he used to take darshan, because he would not feel qualified to come and take darshan of the Lord from near, as well as he wanted to see the ecstasy of all the other devotees taking darshan. Not just, you know, when we go to take darshan, we try to push everyone back and behind and say, I want to take. And that's good. That's eagerness to see the Lord. But, you know, if we derive pleasure in seeing others taking pleasure in seeing the Lord and assisting them in taking darshan of the Lord, then the Lord is much more pleased. And that's what the mood of Lord Chaitanya was. He would go behind, and behind the Jagannath, at the very back of the Jagannath temple, he would stand and he would take support with his fingers with the of the pillar that was there, and then he would just rise up a little bit on his toes and have darshan of the Lord. And there would be so many other devotees who would be having darshan. And in fact, even today, if we go at the back of the Jagannath temple, meaning inside the temple, but at the very back where there is a pillar, there is a pillar which is the Garuda Stambha, not that one, but which is near the door, we will see there are some impressions of fingertips in Lord Jagannath's temple at the very back. That's where Lord Chaitanya would stand. He would take support of the pillar through his fingertips of his hand, and then have darshan. And he would be so ecstatic while having darshan that by his ecstasy, the pillar would also melt. And you can see his fingertip impressions melted into the pillar on the back of Jagannath Puri. And there would be so many hundreds and thousands of devotees packed in this temple hall, and everyone is trying to take darshan. And so Kashishwar Pandit would be the one who would make sure that no one is pushing Lord Chaitanya around or displacing him from where he wants to take darshan. And he was kind of the bodyguard, Kashishwar Pandit. He was a very strong man, and so he would do that. He used to protect the Lord from the crowds. And one time there was a Mataji, an old lady, who was she was very short, and she was not able to have darshan of the Lord. So she was trying, going here and there and trying to have darshan, but because of her short stature, she was not able to have darshan in behind the crowds. So she saw the tall man standing at the end of the pillar. She climbed up on Lord Chaitanya and sat on the shoulders of Lord Chaitanya and started having darshan of the Lord. And all the devotees were, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?" And Kashishwar Pandit was right there, one of them, trying to get this lady off of Lord Chaitanya's shoulders. But Lord Chaitanya stopped him and stopped everyone else. "No, just look at the eagerness of this lady to have darshan. That eagerness is the price that we have to pay for Krishna to reveal himself to us. We should learn from this lady. Of course, we should not imitate her, but we should understand and try to learn her mood of eagerness with which we should have darshan." So Lord Chaitanya did not mind that she is climbing up on Lord Chaitanya and standing on his shoulders. But he looked at the good, and he looked at how she was so eager and allowed her to take darshan that way. But Kashishwar Pandit was one of the bodyguards right there. He was actually a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya. He was one of the contemporaries of the Lord. He was the disciple of Ishwarapuri. And Prabhupada says that even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he went and visited this temple at Vallabhapura, which is the near Sri Rampur, and where there is a deity of Radha Govinda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada says that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati met the priest there. That priest was the descendant of Kashishwar Goswami's brother, Kashishwar Pandit's brother. And in this particular temple of Kashishwar Pandit in Vallabhapura, there was a permanent arrangement that 9 kilos of rice will be cooked, vegetables and other foodstuffs will be cooked, and 9 kilos every day. And that rice would come from near the village where there was sufficient land which belonged to the deity on which the grass was grown. So this is the arrangement made by Kashishwar Pandit. And Prabhupada says that during his householder life also, he sometimes visited this temple of Vallabhapura and took prasad there. Of the 9 kilos of rice, some prasad Prabhupada took at noon. And Prabhupada says that in this temple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda and Gauranga Vigraha, they are very, very beautiful. In fact, Prabhupada says, near Vallabhapura is another beautiful temple of Jagannath. We sometimes used to take prasad in this temple also. These two temples are situated within a 1 mile radius of the Sri Rampur railway station near Calcutta. So Prabhupada, in his householder life, he was preparing for this journey that he has to take by taking blessings of all of these previous acharyas. We only hear about him taking blessings from Srila Rupa Goswami and at the temple of Radha Damodar, but his whole lifetime was actually a preparation of that. And he would visit these remote places and temples which were not at all famous, but they were temples that were established by the previous acharyas. So by his own example, Srila Prabhupada is displaying how we should glorify and honor the previous acharyas. In fact, in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, it is said that Kashishwar Pandit in Vrindavan, he is a servant called Bringara. In Vrindavan, there is a servant of Krishna called Bringara. Bringara descended as Kashishwar Gosai during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is not much written about Kashishwar Pandit, but we know that Kashishwar Pandit and Sri Govinda, these were two very dear disciples of Srila Ishwarapuri. When Ishwarapuri passed into the eternal Leela of the Lord, he instructed them to go and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Now, both Kashishwar Pandit and Sri Govinda, they were Lord Chaitanya's godbrothers. So Lord Chaitanya was very hesitant and shy to take any service from them. He honored them as his peers, as his godbrothers. But when he heard that it is the instruction of Srila Ishwarapuri, then as an austerity, he allowed them, his godbrothers, to serve him. Sri Govinda then attended Mahaprabhu personally as his personal servant. That was the service of Sri Govinda. And Kashishwar Pandit's service was a bodyguard to protect the Lord from the crowds when he visited the temple of Jagannath. So Kashishwar Pandit would walk in front of the Lord, and Sri Govinda would walk behind the Lord as his servant, personal servant, whenever Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya would go to the temple of Lord Jagannath in Puri, Kashishwar Pandit, being very strong, he would clear the crowds aside with his hands so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could pass untouched. In fact, just like Kashishwar Pandit in Krishna Leela was Bhringara, Sri Govinda in Krishna Leela was Bhangura. And their service was to bring water from Yamuna for Krishna. That was their service. And so this Bhringara and Bhangura came in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Kashishwar Pandit and Sri Govinda. Kashishwar Pandit would, of course, he was the bodyguard, but when Lord Chaitanya would come back after taking darshan of Jagannath, Lord Jagannath, he used to serve prasad to the devotees after the kirtan, Kashishwar Pandit. So his service was bodyguard and serve prasad to all the devotees. Now this Kashishwar Pandit was very, very, he had disciples. He was very famous too. And he had a disciple named Sri Govinda Gosai, not Sri Govinda who was his godbrother, but another disciple, Sri Govinda Gosai, who was a servant of Sri Govinda Diti in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Srila Rupa Goswami established the worship of Sri Sri Radha Govinda, and there is the Sri Sri Radha Govinda temple. And this disciple of Kashishwar Pandit, Sri Govinda Gosai, was a very great servant of Sri Govinda Diti. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, that Kashishwar Pandit is engaging his disciple in the service of Sri Govinda, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. And he said, "You know what, Kashishwar, you should go to Vrindavan and assist Rupa Goswami." And Kashishwar Pandit was, "No, my lord, I'm very happy here. I don't want to leave your association. My disciples are taking care of the service there. They're assisting Rupa Goswami." But Kashishwar Pandit, but Lord Chaitanya said, "No, you should go there. And if you miss me, I will give you this, because you miss me, I will give you this deity." This deity was very identical with Lord Chaitanya. And Kashishwar Pandit took that deity of Lord Chaitanya with him. And whenever he would feel separation, he would serve and feed that deity, and he would get some solace from his separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, this incident is recorded in Bhakti Ratnakar, which is written by Sri Narahari Chakravarti Thakur, where it is said that Kashishwar Pandit, he told Lord Chaitanya, "I cannot bear to leave you behind." But the Lord, he understood, he's the Paramatma in everyone's heart. So he understood the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kashishwar Pandit, and gave him this deity. And then when he offered bhoga to this deity of Lord Chaitanya was eating all the offerings placed before him. It would just vanish. And so Kashishwar Pandit was in ecstasy that this is Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya then asked him to name this deity as Gaura Govinda. This is the deity of Gaura Govinda. Gaura is Lord Chaitanya, And Govinda is the Sri Radha Govinda deity in whose service Lord Chaitanya was asking Kashishwar Pandit to go and help. And so Kashishwar Pandit went to Vrindavan with this Gaur Govinda deity, and Rupa Goswami kept that deity to the left of Sri Govinda deity and performed the service. In fact, even now, if we go to Jaipur at Sri Sri Radha Govinda temple, on his left there is this Gaur Govinda deity of Kashishwar Pandit. So in this way, even though Lord Chaitanya was mostly in the eastern part of India, in Jagannath Puri, and he went to South India for his tour, but Kashishwar Pandit brought Lord Chaitanya to the western part of India, to Jaipur, in the form of Gaur Govinda deity. These original deities of Gaur Govinda and Govindaji are very lovingly adored by thousands of devotees in Jaipur. So this is the, these are the glories of Kashishwar Pandit. Next we will discuss the glories of Sri Kavi Karnapura Goswami. Kavi Karnapura is very famous for writing this work of Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, where it explains who is who. It's like in the quiz book we have who's who. Who in Lord Chaitanya's pastime is who in Krishna's pastime. So just like we heard, Kashishwar Pandit is the servant named Bhringara. Different Goswamis are different Manjaris in Vrindavan. Like that, so many different associates of Krishna descended as associates of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Kavi Karnapura, he wrote this book and gave all these revelations. He was the son of Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen had three sons, Chaitanya Das, Sri Ram Das, and Kavi Karnapura. Shivananda Sen was the devotee who would arrange for the yatra, yearly yatra, of all the devotees from Bengal to come to Jagannath Puri, have darshan of Lord Jagannath, and have darshan of Lord Chaitanya. He would pay for their expenses, he would pay for all the taxes that were there from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, because Jagannath Puri, Orissa, and this Utkal Kshetra was ruled by King Pratap Rudra, who was a Hindu. And Bengal was ruled by Muslims, Chand Kazi, and there were so many different governors. And so they would know that people from Bengal are going to Jagannath Puri for their pilgrimage, so they would levy taxes on them. So Shivananda Sen would make all arrangements for paying taxes, and it would be a foot journey. So he would arrange for them to take rest in the night at different places. He would arrange for prasadam for all the devotees, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and all of these things. It would take a couple of months for them to come from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, and at least several weeks. And all of that arrangement was made by Shivananda Sen. He was a very wealthy merchant and also a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So he would perform this service. And Kavi Karnapura was the son of this Shivananda Sen. In fact, even before Kavi Karnapura appeared, when he was in the womb, Lord Chaitanya named him Puri Das. So, in fact, the three sons of Shivananda Sen were Chaitanya Das, Sri Ram Das, and Puri Das. But Puri Das, later on, he was named as Kavi Karnapura, and we'll see the pastime of that. Shivananda Sen brought this Puri Das to meet Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. When he was just an infant, Puri Das was very young, very small. He was just an infant. And just like when we go meet Maharajas, and if the children are in our laps, we put them down to induce them to offer dandavats. So Shivananda Sen induced his infant son, Puri Das, to offer dandavats to the Lord. And suddenly, this baby, Puri Das, he grabbed Lord Chaitanya's foot and started sucking on Lord Chaitanya's lotus petal toe. And all the devotees, when they saw this, they started chanting, Hari, Hari, this boy is so fortunate. And Lord Chaitanya allowed him to suck the toe of his lotus foot. Then when he grew up to age 7, when he was 7 years old, Puri Das, he received the Harinam mantra directly from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Shivananda Sen and his services, and so pleased with Puri Das and his behavior, that he initiated Puri Das himself, who later became Kavi Karnapura. As soon as he was initiated, it is said that the Lord empowered him by giving him the Harinam mantra, and instantly he started composing wonderfully sweet poetic Sanskrit verses in glorification of the Lord. And everyone was astonished. When did he learn this such a great Sanskrit? When did he become poet? And then everyone understood, this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So Sri Sarup Damodar, who was the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, he said, since this boy's poetry pleases the heart and completely fills the ears with nectar, his name will be Kavi Karna Pura. Kavi means poetry, Karna means ear, Pura means full. He completely fulfills the heart by when we hear his poetry from the ear, Kavi Karnapura. And since then he started writing at the age of 16, Kavi Karnapura, he started his writing career. And he produced a book of poetry called Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, where it talks about the Sringara Rasa and gives the definition of rasa. And then later he also wrote Gaura Ganodesh Deepika, Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika, Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, Alankara Kostubha, and Anand Vrindavan Champu. Anand Vrindavan Champu gives details about daily pastimes of Lord Krishna in the spiritual world, Ashta Kalika Leela, on the 8 times. What happens in the spiritual world? We always think, oh, we should think about the pastimes of the Lord. We should think about hearing and chanting and all of that. But what happens in the spiritual world? All those details are given in Anand Vrindavan Champu, written by Sri Kavi Karnapura Goswami. So this was the glories of Sri Kavi Karnapura Goswami. We discussed about the glories of Kashishwar Pandit, Sri Kavi Karnapura, and we'll discuss about the glories of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Hare Hare Krishnadas, Nakaraha Bhaya, Vrindavana Jahataha, Sarvalarya Haya. O my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. These are the famous words spoken by Lord Nityananda himself to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in a dream. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is very famous for composing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is one of the foremost biography of Lord Chaitanya. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami composed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was a very simple devotee. He was practically unknown in front of all these different acharyas. And he was 90 years old. At that time, Lord Chaitanya had left this world. Lord Nityananda had left this world. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was just counting his number of days in which he could leave the world. And then he had this dream. In that dream, he saw there was a huge, uproaring kirtan. And when he was looking at the kirtan, suddenly from the kirtan, Lord Nityananda came forward. And he came and he started speaking to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the dream. And he spoke this, he spoke, you should write the biography of Lord Chaitanya. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, even though he was in a dream, he was perplexed. What? I'm almost an invalid. I'm so old. My brain doesn't work properly. I don't have that focus anymore. I won't be able to write. My hands are not so young anymore. Why are you? I will do a very shabby job of writing. That to Lord Chaitanya's biography, this is not a simple task. And that's when Lord Nityananda said these prophetic words. Hare Hare Krishnadas Nakaraha Bhaya Vrindavana Jahataha Sarvaslarahaya. O my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan. There you will attain all things. And hearing this, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami from Bengal, he went to Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan, as a desperate soul, he started searching out for all the associates of Lord Chaitanya. He went to all the devotees and he begged blessings from them, expressing very humbly and honestly to them, I really don't feel qualified, but I had this dream and Lord Nityananda gave me this service, so I have to do it. Please give me your blessing so I could do it. And then he would do his research and speak to different associates of Lord Chaitanya who have had any association with Lord Chaitanya and would hear from them all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and record them. Of course, there were no audio recorders, but he would record them in his mind, and then later on, he would make his notes and then finally write, put them in proper format. Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, Antya Leela, like that. But when he was doing his research, he was hearing different things at different times, pastimes of Lord Chaitanya at different times. It was not in chronological order. Some of it was also revealed to him because of his eagerness and sincerity. He, as these devotees were mentioning these pastimes, he was given this vision to understand it and present it in that particular way. Because of his humility, he was chosen. He was not a great achiever or anything of the big service or a big preacher or anything of that sort. He was just a simple, sincere devotee. because of his sincerity, he was chosen to write this wonderful work of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In fact, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, every chapter practically starts with him begging blessings from even the readers. That, look, I'm just openly telling you, I'm not qualified. I'm lower than the worm in the stool. But somehow I have been given this service and I have to do this as a service, so I'm doing this. Please bless me, O readers. I'm doing this only by the blessings of this devotees. And he goes and pays in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are chapters after chapters where he's just paying obeisances to different devotees, mentioning their names and paying obeisances. That was his mood of Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He appeared near Katwa, near the place where Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. From there he went to Vrindavan. He took Diksha from Raghunath Das Goswami. And after taking Diksha, he lived a very renounced life at Shyamakunda. Raghunath Das Goswami has a kutir near Radhakunda, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami would live near Shyamakunda, near the Manasa Pavana Ghat, which is considered to be the midday bathing place of Srimati Radharani. Before writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote Govinda Lilamrita. And when he wrote Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Das wrote this Govinda Lilamrita. Srila Jiva Goswami became very, very impressed by Govinda Lilamrita. It is said that anyone who reads Govinda Lilamrita, it can move stones to tears. In fact, Srila Narottam Das Thakur wrote in his Prarthana in glorification of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami that Krishna Das Kaviraj, who composed the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the connoisseur amongst devotees. His Govinda Lilamrita moves stones to tears, but alas, my mind is not attracted to it. So, after he wrote Govinda Lilamrita, he became famous, and Sri Jiva Goswami gave him the title Kaviraj. Kaviraj means king of poets. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. His original name given by Raghunath Das Goswami was Krishna Das, but he became Krishna Das Kaviraj by Jiva Goswami. During Krishna Das Kaviraj's time, all the Vaishnavas, they would gather at Sri Sri Radha Govinda temple, and they would hear from a book called Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. They would all come together, including Krishna Das. They would hear from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat was written by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is considered to be an incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva. In fact, before Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vrindavan Das Thakur's biography of Lord Chaitanya was known as Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then later, it was said Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's biography should be called as Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Vrindavan Das Thakur's biography should be called Chaitanya Bhagavat, because it was written by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is a descendant, who is actually an incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva, Bhagavatam, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, like that. But at that time, There are actually three main principal biographies of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mangal, written by Lochan Das Thakur, who was an associate of Lord Nityananda. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, composed by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the son of Naraini. Naraini was the little girl who was hugged by Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya transferred Krishna Prem to this little girl, Naraini. And Naraini's son was Vrindavan Das Thakur, the incarnation of Srila Vyasadeva, who wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he used to live in Mamgachi. Even now, if we go for Gauramandal Parikrama for the 7 days, we can go to Mamgachi. So anyways, at that time, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat was being read by Sri Haridas Pandit in Radha Govinda temple, and Krishna Das, Kaviraj Goswami, and so many other devotees would go there to hear from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. But in there, the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya was not written. Mostly it was the childhood pastimes and the, and till he was in Navadvip, those kind of pastimes. But later pastimes were not written, so they asked Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, look, you have been asked by Lord Nityananda to write something. Why don't you write this later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? And as the devotees said that, Krishna Das prayed to Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan for ability and blessings, and the deity's flower garland fell down, indicating the divine sanction that yes, go ahead and write about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So, therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered to be the most accurate, most authentic, and philosophical biography of Lord Chaitanya. That's why Srila Prabhupada chose to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita because of its elaborate nature, rather than translating Chaitanya Bhagavat or Chaitanya Mangal. Even though we find Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal in English today, but Srila Prabhupada gave purports and gave the details, translations of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, because every line of Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is full of humility. And it's filled with so much enthusiasm and devotion for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for Nityananda Prabhu. And especially because Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was empowered with the power of speaking without offending, even when rebuking his opponents. Because of that character, he was chosen to write. Because many others may have some favoritism and they may not like some people, but Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, his heart was pure and he would never offend Vaishnavas. Even those who offended him, he would speak to them without offending them. He would speak the truth. It's not like he would falsely glorify them, or it's not like he had something else in his mind and he wanted to say something else. He would say exactly what he wanted to say, but he would present it in a way which would not be offending. This is an art that all devotees should understand. And if we have a sincere desire to not offend Vaishnavas, Krishna will inspire from within how we should say things that while speaking the truth. Satyam vadam, priyam vadam. Meaning we should just say, we should say the truth, but in a way that is pleasing to others. Even in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it talks about the austerity of speech. In the 17th chapter, the divisions of faith, text 15, Krishna says, Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya bhyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchyate. The austerity of speech consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially and in avoiding speech that offends. One should also recite the Vedas regularly. So Srila Prabhupada says one should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. In the purport, Prabhupada says, of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instructions of his students, but such a teacher should not speak to others who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. In essence, Srila Prabhupada is saying, if you are in a position of authority, unless you are in a position of authority to instruct others, where others are willingly taking instructions from us and are in a frame of mind that they can accept what we are speaking, unless we are in that position, we should always by default see the good in others and glorify them and ignore the bad. We should not speak in a way to agitate them. We should not try to instruct them unnecessarily, give advice to them, unsolicited advice, or criticize them, either privately or publicly. That is the austerity of speech. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had that character and the desire to not offend any devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he had knowledge in all the Vedic scriptures. If we read his different books, Govinda Lilamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, his books show that he has his skills in the Shrutis, the Smritis, the Nyaya Shastra, Jyotish Shastra, and culinary arts, even in cooking. If we see, there are chapters after chapters of how different devotees cooked different preparations and different items. He gives recipes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he also, of items that Lord Chaitanya liked, like mocha, the banana flour sabji. This is the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a Shruti Shastra, Smriti Shastra. It's also a cookbook. It's also a book on how to serve prasad to devotees. It's explained in great detail how Lord Chaitanya would serve prasad to devotees, in what mood, how would the devotees sit, what preparations would be served first and what would be next and next and next, what is the order in which it should be done. All of that is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But what does Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, even though he was such a big scholar, an ascetic, does so much austerity, a paramhamsa, still about himself he says, I'm just duff, I am deaf, dumb, wholly illiterate, worldly-minded, and lower than a worm in stool. This is the personal humility that attracts the heart of all the readers of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was a living example of Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena. Be humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. Give all respect to others and expect none in return. Because of that, he was able to chant the holy names incessantly, and he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. If we want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we must meditate and follow this particular verse. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami emphasizes this verse of Trinadapi Sunichena so much that he says that devotees should chant the holy names on the beads which are strung with the thread of this particular verse of Trinadapi Sunichena. which means when we perform our chanting, we chant on the beads. Those beads, those 108 beads and one Krishna bead, they are tied together by a string which goes through them. That string is not seen. We only see the beads which are strung together. That string is not seen. But that string, unseen string, is the one that binds all the beads together. That string, that unseen string, is the verse of Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. If we want to chant on these beads always, Kirtaniya Sadahari, then we must string these beads with the string of the Trinadapi Sunichena verse. This was the example set by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are not only associating with Lord Chaitanya and his associates, we are also associating with the mood of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, an eternally liberated associate of Lord Chaitanya. Then when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and associate with Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, one will develop the Vaishnava qualities of humility and integrity, all the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. Control over our passions, our friendliness, and absolute surrender to Lord Krishna. In Vrindavan Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is Kasturi Manjari, who is one of the 8 most intimate maidservants of Srimati Radharani. And we can still go to his samadhi at Radha Kunda. And also there is a samadhi at Radha Damodar temple of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Jai Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Shri Kavi Karnapur ki jai. Shri Kashishwar Pandit ki jai. Vaishnavacharya ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can take now.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very wonderful glorification of all of these devotees, Kashishwar Pandit, and Kavi Karnapur, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Thank you very much, very, very nice. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, such a wonderful class. Thank you very much. Could you repeat the name of the book where it is described the Krishna Leela versus comparison of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela? Didn't get the name of the book.
Name of the book, where what?
In case of Kavi Karnapura Goswami wrote a book which compares the Krishna Leela person versus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's.
Yeah. Gaura Ganodesh Deepika. Gaura Ganodesh, GANNODESH. Deepika.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, this is Damodarananda Das from Bloomington, Illinois.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for very wonderful lecture, Prabhuji. And thank you for mentioning that how Nityanand Prabhu appeared in the dream of Kaviraj Goswami to instruct him to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Nityanand Trayodashi is coming next week. And I'm going to add this to my presentation, that how the Adi Guru or the Guru can inspire even after leaving this planet, just like the Seram Saputit coming in the dream of Kaviraj. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. I'm glad I could assist you in your presentation. All right, if there are no more questions or comments, we can end here.
Oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Do you still have time?
Yes, yes, I have time.
Okay, yeah, I have a couple questions actually. one is, that, well, first of all, thank you for a really fascinating class. It was full of fun facts. You know, I really enjoy learning about Shivananda Sen's son, you know, the author of that book that you just mentioned.
Yes.
And part of his name is, the translation means the ear. So how do you say ear? Karna? How do you spell karna?
K-A-R-N-A.
K-A-R-A-N-A?
No, K-A-R-N as in Nityananda, A.
Oh, karna. Uh-huh. Means ear. Okay. So that that Mahabharat character, his name also means ear? Karna?
Yeah, I mean, karna does mean ear. Yes, that's true.
Huh. Okay. Anyway, that even wasn't my main question. My main question is...
and he was given the name Karna because he was the son of sun god Surya and Kunti, and Kunti gave birth to him through her ear because he was
through her ear.
Yeah, because he was born of Kunti because Maharani Kunti was given a boon by a sage, and that she could use this to bear sons from any demigods, and she didn't believe this, and she was a virgin, she was not married at that time, and she thought, let me try this boon, and she just experimented with it, with sun god, and because of that, she got a son Karna, who she gave birth to the ear. That's why he's called as Karna.
Wow, I never knew he was born through her ear.
Right.
Wow.
And Karna founded a city in Haryana called Karnal, which is near Vrindavan too, but yeah.
Oh.
And he became the king of Angadesh, which is now in Bihar, Bengal, Bangladesh border. But anyway, those are some fun facts.
Yeah, this class was full of fun facts. Nice. Okay, and I also appreciated, you know, the connection that you make, because it makes it easier for me to remember now. It's like a mnemonic, this connection between Vrindavan Das Thakur and Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know, because by making that connection between Chaitanya Bhagavat and Bhagavatam through Vyasadeva, it makes it easier for me to now remember that is Vrindavan Das, you know, is the incarnation of Vyasadeva. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for that mnemonic. okay, so now for my actual questions, which is you were explaining why Srila Prabhupada decided to give extensive commentary on the CC versus, I guess, Chaitanya Mangal and Chaitanya Bhagavat. And in so doing, you were explaining, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj's humility and how he would never speak in any pejorative way, I guess, of any other Vaishnavas. But, you know, the authors of the other two biographies, I'm sure they also had the same qualities, being pure devotees, you know. So when you were giving those as reasons why Srila Prabhupada chose to comment on CC, it wasn't so clear to me, you know, because I'm sure that those other two biographies, being that they're coming from the hearts of these pure devotees, they would also have these qualities of the CC, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I was saying that he was asked to write CC because of this quality, but Srila Prabhupada chose to translate Chaitanya Charitamrita especially because of its elaborate nature, and you know, all the other Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Mangal are not as elaborate as Chaitanya Charitamrita. They only focus on certain aspects of his pastimes, and not all the pastimes are given in chronological order like Chaitanya Charitamrita gives Adi Leela, you know, from his childhood to youth, and then Madhya Leela, where he's spreading his Sankirtan mission, and then Antya Leela, where he is his life in Jagannath Puri. Many places like the life in Jagannath Puri, pastimes in Jagannath Puri are not mentioned, but Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions it in a very elaborate manner. And so I guess that's why Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada chose that. But, I mean, this is nothing to take away from Chaitanya Mangal and Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami grew up on Chaitanya Bhagavat. You know, his inspiration was Chaitanya Bhagavat. He would personally go and hear Chaitanya Bhagavat every day from these different devotees. So it's not to minimize Chaitanya Mangal or Chaitanya Bhagavat. But just in terms of its elaborate nature, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the one. But yes, others also had the same qualities. There were many other devotees, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had these qualities of speaking without offending. And so if he would write Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda wanted someone who you know, does not offend in his speech or writings, like that.
But it's like you said, it's not that the other two authors would write in any offensive way
either. Yes. And that's why they were chosen too, to write Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and they are famous because of that.
Chaitanya Bhagavat, that's the one that focused more on Chaitanya's youth, more youthful days, is it?
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
And what's the distinguishing characteristic of Chaitanya Mangal?
Chaitanya Mangal is more in a poetry form, and some of the pastimes are not in chronological order, so it requires heavy purports to actually understand where this is going from there. And it's more in a poetry form, so rather than a story form.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. And also, I have one more question, you know, if you feel like it's too much for this time of the class, you can, you know, tell me. But, you know, as you were saying, this Trinada P verse is like the thread that strings the Maha Mantra beads together, you know? So I was just wondering if you could just elaborate, you know, on the Trinada P verse. It has, I think, what is it, four aspects. It has being humble, not wanting respect. What's the next one? Humble.
Tolerance.
Right. So if you have these three qualities, then you can chant Krishna's names continuously. So I was just wondering if you could spell out the connection between these three qualities and being able to chant Krishna's names continuously? Explain how that's the thread, you know?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, the holy name of the Lord reciprocates based on our efforts for chanting the holy names and our efforts on focusing on chanting the holy names. And when we chant, we are offering our consciousness to Krishna. So what we do when we are not chanting affects when we chant. Mm-hmm. Because what we do when we are not chanting is shaping our consciousness also. Mm-hmm. And if we are, of course, in our neophyte stage, we are not able to chant 24 hours a day, which is the goal, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. But in our neophyte stage, we are told, okay, just chant 16 rounds every day, minimum. And then slowly, slowly, you'll develop some taste where you'll be able to chant more and more and more and more. And first thing to understand is this humility, tolerance, giving respect to others is the natural quality of the soul. It's not something artificial that we are trying to develop from outside. It's not something external. So when we are chanting the holy names and when we are putting our efforts in hearing the holy names, Krishna reciprocates with those sincere efforts of hearing the holy names and helplessly chanting. And that purifies our heart, which brings out the real quality of the soul of humility, tolerance, and respect, little by little. But we also have to practice till we come to the stage where the natural quality of the soul of humility, tolerance, and respect naturally, spontaneously, till it comes out. Till then, we have to also practice humility, practice tolerance, practice respect. Practice meaning it will not come naturally initially, but we should make an effort to act humbly, even though our mind is asking us to respond arrogantly. We should practice saying no. Lord Chaitanya says we should, his instruction is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarurapi Saishnuna. Let me see how can I react in this situation according to this verse. If I do that, Lord Chaitanya will be pleased and he will bring out the natural quality of humility within me. Mm-hmm. If I practice tolerance, even though my mind is screaming at me in anger, but if I just practice tolerance for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya to follow this verse, then Lord Chaitanya will be pleased and will actually reveal real tolerance of the soul for me. And so these things slowly, slowly open our hearts to receive the mercy when we are chanting. So we may be chanting, but if our heart is closed, that mercy through the chanting is coming, knocking on the doors of our heart, but our doors are closed and windows are closed. But when we practice humility, practice tolerance, practice giving respect to others and expect none in return, no one will notice that. No one will notice this person is practicing humility or practicing giving respect, this person. It's just between us and Lord Chaitanya and Paramatma within the heart and Guru to whom Krishna reveals. But when we do that, Lord Chaitanya knows, and slowly that opens the doors of our hearts and windows of our hearts. And when we chant, then it goes and has the desired effect. It purifies our mind. And then the natural quality of humility, tolerance, and respect starts coming. It becomes easier and easier and more spontaneous to respond in humility, tolerance, and respect. And once we are completely purified, we see all pure souls, they behave in that same way, humility, tolerance, and respect. So that's the connection between chanting. Practicing Trinadapi Suni Chena helps us in our chanting because it reduces our distractions. If we are very arrogant and proud and all of that, when we are chanting, our mind will just be talking about, because our, you know, we are chanting at that time, we are not doing anything else, we are almost meditating, the mind comes up with all different kinds of distractions. And if the arrogance is there in our mind will start thinking about situations where how we can prove ourselves right and someone else wrong. And while we are chanting, we are actually doing arguments, placing arguments of how I'm right and how this other person is wrong, or how, you know, so many different things of how this person treated me, how that person treated me. But if we are just humble and we accept that I actually don't deserve this, whatever little respect people are giving, I even don't deserve that, nor do I want that, then there is that many less distractions. If we are expecting respect, someone who is expecting respect from others is the most miserable person, because we are always just dependent on others giving us respect. We don't have any satisfaction of our own. In fact, but on the other hand, if we are giving respect to others, that's completely under our control. That person is the happiest person. He's just happy giving respect to everyone else and not expecting any other respect in return. We are happy if we say Hare Krishna, Hare Bol to some devotee and that devotee doesn't even look at us. That's fine with us. We did our part. That's Amanina Manadena. We are happy to give credit to others and not expect any credit for ourselves. That's Amanina Manadena. We perform some service and then we just give that credit to someone else. Yes, that person, because ultimately it's not because of us that we are able to do that service, ultimately because of Krishna. So why should I take the credit? And so we are not in tension. But someone who wants some credit for doing that activity and no one is giving him that credit, or not enough people are giving the credit, while chanting, we are just thinking of ways how I can take credit for this activity. And then what are we doing? Are we really chanting, or are we reciprocating with Krishna, or are we reciprocating with our false ego? So by philosophically, by chanting, by following this principle of Trinadapi Suni Chena, we are stopping our reciprocations with our false ego and starting and focusing on our reciprocations with Krishna. But while we do that, that chanting brings out the real nature, real humility, tolerance, and respect spontaneously from within. So we should practice, and eventually it will become spontaneous too.
Wow, that was really such a beautiful musical answer, Prabhu. That was really wonderful. just one thing that came to that I wanted to ask you when you were explaining about the respect part. You know, if we can say that, well, if someone disrespects us, right, that we should understand is our karma. So if we also get respect, even though, let's say, we're in the mood of not expecting it, why should we not say that that too is our karma?
Yeah. As per the principles of humility, if someone gives us respect, we accept it gracefully. We say thank you and all that. But then we pass it on to our guru. And our guru then passes it on to his guru, and ultimately to Krishna, because all respect actually is deserved by Krishna, because if someone is seeing any good qualities in us, that good quality is just a borrowed quality from Krishna. The source of that quality is Krishna. That quality doesn't belong to us. In this life, we are displaying some skill or some quality, and the source of that is Krishna. And he's giving us based on the karma. So, yes, it is because of our karma, but it doesn't end there. What is the source of that quality? That's Krishna. So we need to go deeper and not take credit for that karma, but actually give it to the source, who is Krishna himself. And we give it to our guru, who gives to his guru, his guru. So if anyone glorifies us, we glorify Srila Prabhupada, saying this is because of our guru and because of Srila Prabhupada. And they offer to their guru, Srila Prabhupada won't take it to himself. Guru Maharaj won't take it to himself. He'll offer to his guru, and it'll go to Krishna ultimately. But if someone disrespects us, then we say that is, we deserve worse. If this person actually knew what all thoughts go on in my mind, Prabhupada would say he would spit at me. But at least he's not saying so bad to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was also a very beautifully logical answer. Very wonderful, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, so we can end here. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.